जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। थैंक यू। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 30। असावेव वरोऽस्माकम् ईप्सितो जगतपते, प्रसन्नो भगवान् येषाम् अपवर्ग गुरुर्गतिः असावेव वरोऽस्माकम् ईप्सितो जगतः पते प्रसन्नो भगवान् येषाम् अपवर्ग गुरुर्गतिः असावेव वरोऽस्माकम् ईप्सितो जगतः पते प्रसन्नो भगवान् येषाम् अपवर्ग गुरुर्गतिः Ladies, please. So that eva certainly varaha benediction asmakam our ipsita desired jagatah of the universe pate O Lord prasanna satisfied Bhagavan the supreme personality of Godhead Yesham, with whom apavarga of transcendental loving service, Guruhu, the teacher, Gatihi, the ultimate goal of life. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. Purport. In this verse, the words apavarga gurur gatihi are very significant. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, text 11, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate fact of the Absolute Truth. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdyate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. The word apavarga means liberation. Pavarga means material existence. In material existence, one always works very hard but is ultimately baffled. One then dies and has to accept another body to work very hard again. This is the cycle of material existence. Apavarga means just the opposite. Instead of working hard like cats and dogs, one returns home back to Godhead. Liberation begins with merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Supreme Lord. This conception is held by the Jnani Sampradaya, philosophical speculators, but the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is higher. When a devotee understands that the Lord is satisfied, liberation or merging into the effulgence of the Lord is not very difficult. One has to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the impersonal Brahman effulgence, just as one has to approach the sun through the sunshine. It is not very difficult to merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, Brahman, if one has satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shvasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is the place, or from here on, where the Prachetas are beginning to ask for a benediction. So far they have glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of about His glories, about His constitutional position, about their constitutional position, etc. And so they're asking Vara, means benediction, Asmakam, unto us. Ipsitaha, we desire it. Ipsita means to desire. And what they are desiring is Prasanna Bhagavan Esha. Prasanna Bhagavan, that my dear Lord, may you be satisfied. This is the only benediction we ask for. And we are very happy that you are our leader, our guru. Apavarga guru gatihi. Gati means the ultimate goal of life. So this is the goal for every devotee of Krishna. Because without a goal, we cannot move. We won't have a purpose for doing what we are doing. There is a goal. Some people say the goal is going back to Godhead. Some people say it doesn't matter whether you go back to Godhead or not. You may go back to hell, but doesn't matter if you get a chance for service. That is fantastic. Right? Apavarga narkeshu apitulyarthava. It doesn't matter whether one is liberated, whether one has to go back to hellish condition. The devotee is not fearful of it because they're engaged in service to Krishna. Same thing, it's just said in different ways. Regardless, the principle is that there is a goal. Most people have goals, but those goals are material goals. And really foolish people have very short-term material goals. And completely foolish persons have absolutely no goals. So it's a matter of, it's a degree of foolishness. Whether you have no goals, material goals, or long-term material goals, it's all foolishness. So one may say, I'm a better fool than you are, but it doesn't help. As long as one has material goals, is considered foolish anyway. Then there are spiritual goals, and that's what one is supposed to have as a human being, to cultivate a goal to aspire for, some direction to move in. So here they're expressing their goal. Our only goal is that may you be satisfied. Very simple goal. Goals don't have to be complicated or extremely esoteric. Goals are very simple. When there are simple goals, then life becomes simple. When there are complicated goals, then life becomes really hellish. That's the pavarga coming up. So goal is very simple. May you be pleased. And as soon as one sets up that goal, all other subordinate goals, I'll use the word subordinate for now, all other subordinate goals are in place automatically. So if the goal is to satisfy Krishna, then the first goal is to know how to satisfy Krishna. Who will teach me how to satisfy Krishna? So we need a spiritual master. We need the Vaishnavas. We need the Vedic Tantras. So living a life that cultivates very sincere following of these assets that Krishna provides is in the direction of we want to satisfy Krishna. We want to reach Krishna. You are our ultimate goal, gatihi. And Prabhupada says, apavarga means liberation and pavarga means material existence. Now generally as devotees, when we hear the word liberation, we become uncomfortable. Like, oh, liberation. Because generally we have this conception. The word liberation has a particular connotation for us. We associate the word liberation with Mayavadis. In this context, that's not the liberation they're talking about. They're talking about the cessation of material existence. So in terms of category, there are two categories of existence. One is called conditioned existence, and the other is called liberated existence. Conditioned existence is within the relative realm, the 8,400,000 species of life, three modes of nature, etc., which is something we're very, very familiar with. The liberated existence has different conceptions of what that existence means. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. But they're all liberated existences. Or in the category of liberation. So that's all right. Even impersonalists are considered spiritualists. The Mayavadis are considered hoax. Well, it's a joke. So impersonal existence is the pathway, the access to understanding Krishna as a person. Or put in a simpler language, it's the platform on which one operates as a soul and does spiritual activities, does not associate with the body and the mind. This is called Brahman existence. Brahmabhuta prasanna atma. Where there is blissful existence in whatever circumstance. If a person can be blissful in all circumstances, then we say that is Brahman existence. Another word we use is dhira, sober. Because a sober person can be happy. A person who's not sober cannot be happy. He is generally bewildered, muhyati. So prasanna atma, no shochati, na kankshati. There is no hankering, and there is no lamenting. Hankering and lamenting means living either in the past, lamenting about how the past was, could have been different. I'm sure each one of us, when we look at life, we could say, I wish my past were a little different. If I had that opportunity, if it were like this, could have, should have, would have, must have, might have, whatever. We have an idea of how our past could be a little different. But worrying about it and complaining about it is called shochati, lamenting. Then there is the future, the hankering for future, the adjustment of circumstances today so that my future will be the way I would like it to be. I wish it will be like that. I hope it will be like that. And because our focus is so much on the future, we're busy adjusting the present to get what we want in the future. This is horrible life. Because future is an illusion, nobody has seen it. We have some idea of what the future will look like. I have this plan, I will do like this, I will save so much money, then I will do with my money, I will spend it like that. I have this idea about my life, I would like to do this, and then that's how my life is going to progress. And wow, look how beautiful it looks like. I will serve Krishna wonderfully for the rest of my life. All I need to do is a few adjustments here and there, and wow, it looks fantastic. It's an illusion. We don't see it like that. So what happens is we lose the opportunity of serving Krishna right now in the present because we're too busy preparing for the future. I'm not saying that we don't work for the future. That's not my point here. My point is trying to adjust material circumstances for the future. That is a little not necessary. Does it mean we don't do planning? We do planning. We have some spiritual goals, and that's perfectly all right. Adjusting life to meet with spiritual goals under the guidance is perfectly bona fide. So this is called hankering. Kankshati. Kanksha means aspiring for. Akanksha means aspirations. And then there is samaha sarva bhuteshu. Another problem that a conditioned soul has is that he or she cannot be equal to everyone. Meaning he sees in terms of friends and enemies. He sees in terms of mine and others. He sees in terms of inclusive and exclusive. Party, my party, not my party. My group, not my group. My friend, not my friend. My well-wisher, not my well-wisher, etc. This is that material differentiation, which is not spiritual. But one who is on the spiritual platform doesn't see that. Those lines are not existing. So that is liberated existence. Then Prabhupada says, pavarga means material existence. This word apavarga appears in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the second chapter. Savai pumsam paro dharma. Dharmasya. Thank you. I'm having a real hard time remembering the words. What's the dharmasya verse? Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho arthaya upakalpate. So there Prabhupada explains, if you ever get a chance to read that book called Dharma, it's a series of lectures that Prabhupada gave on the second chapter of the first canto. And it's all put together in a book called Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. Fantastic book. For me, I felt like a transformation in my Krishna consciousness reading that book. In that, Prabhupada describes what is the meaning of pavarga. So simply put, in Sanskrit, first of all, in English, there are only 26 alphabets. 5 vowels and 21 consonants, and that's about it. All words are created from those alphabets. Therefore, English is not a phonetic language. It's some words, the way you spell them and the way you speak them are totally disconnected, right? But in most languages, they have more alphabets or consonants available for different varieties of phonics or sounds. So in Sanskrit, there are many groups of alphabets. Like, it's not a lesson in Sanskrit, but you just get the idea. I'm developing something here. There is something called the Tha Varga, a Ka Varga, Ka, Kha, Ga, Gha, Na, like that. Ta, Tha, Da, Dha, Na. So there is one section of vowels is called the Pa Varga. Pa, 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 Ba, Bha, Ma. These five. So, generally if you're in the West, especially in America, there is no pa as a sound. There is no bha as a sound. Generally we say, but we write bh. Bha. So there are these five consonants. Pa, pa, ba, bha, and ma. So Prabhupada describes that the pa means parishrama. Pavarga means material life. The first thing about material life is parishram. Parishram means working hard like an ass. Working very, very hard simply to gather the basics of life. Food, clothing, and shelter. And material existence makes one work from morning till night. Five jobs, three jobs, multiple jobs, just to make what they call ends meet. In one sense, it makes ends meet. It makes the birth meet the death. But to make ends meet is just to get on with life. Do the basics. And most people are busy with this. They don't have time to, we'll use the word, enjoy life in any way. There's no time. They're busy, very, very busy. They don't have time to eat as well. They have to eat in their car, drive-throughs, you know, pick up their food and drive-through. Prabhupada says some people don't even see their children at all. He narrates a story. There was a person who would work very hard. He had to go early in the morning because he had to travel multiple hours to get to his workplace. And then he would work and then travel back multiple hours. So when he had to leave, he would leave before daybreak. So his child was sleeping. He'd work very hard and he'd come back at night and the child was sleeping. So many years went by. One day he was at home and the child asked the mother, "Who is this man?" "That's daddy." "Whoa." Never saw. People's lives are like that. They barely see their families. In one sense, this is the secret for happy married life. Because the less you see, the less you fight. The more you see, the more you fight. That's a joke. So anyway, in fact, it is truthful, but it is still funny. So people are busy. This is called parishram. And it's not that work is energizing them. The pa is the pena. Pena means foaming in the mouth. So Prabhupada gives the example of an ass or a buffalo that's working very hard. You will notice that they froth or foam in the mouth. Working very, very, very hard. So part of material existence is with hard work, all you get is foaming in the mouth. Meaning a lot of energy is expended just to get the basics done. From morning till night, morning till night. And what's the foaming? Diseases. The body gets weak very quickly. You know, people's structures change. Most people are stressed out with back pain and all that because nowadays everyone is software engineers sitting in chairs cricket, 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 whole day, only fingers are working, they can't move. So many complications arise. Because they're working very hard for gathering few things, they become very attached to whatever they have. That's the bandhana. So they have a sense of proprietorship that's very, very intense. This is mine. I have worked very hard for it. So Prabhupada says, even a pauper is proud of his penny. I have one penny. This is mine. I own it. And I am going to hold on to it very tightly because it has come to me after so much effort. It's called bandhan. And because there is bandhan, one cannot give in charity. One becomes very fearful, scared that how can I give it? That's the next word, bha. Because of bandhan, there is bhaya, fear. Fear that these things will go away if I don't take care of them. So people are very busy taking care of their possessions. Those possessions, anyway, people cannot take. When one dies, it's not that one takes his antique china with him. When one dies, it's not that one takes his car with him. Please bury me with my car. One doesn't take anything from this world, but so carefully will take them to the car wash and get it all nicely waxed and shining. I don't mean that we should not do that. The point is there's absorption in that. Bhaya, there is a fear that it will go away. And that fear ends in mrityu, death, which is anyway going to happen. For everyone, our streets are all with the dead end. There's no street that has no dead end sign. All, for every living entity, their path has a dead end in that life. But they're oblivious to it. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti anamayam. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked this question, this is called the Yaksha Prashna section. The Pandavas were in the forest, incognito, and they were all very thirsty. So they, after many, many miles of searching for water, they found a little pond that had fresh, clear, tasty water. So being the youngest, Sahadeva, Nakula, Sahadeva, he went to bring water. When he was about to gather water, a yaksha asked him, or said to him, "Don't take this water, I am the owner of this lake. Unless you answer my questions, you cannot drink water." So Sahadeva said, "Right now I'm very thirsty. I don't care who you are. If you need to fight, I'll fight with you. I'll answer your questions later." Drank water and fell dead. Nakula came. He was also warned, "Don't drink water without my permission, without me asking you questions, otherwise you will die." He said, "I don't care." Drank and he fell dead. So like that, one by one, all the Pandavas came. They all disobeyed because they were extremely parched and thirsty. They all died. Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhima and Arjuna. Then Yudhishthir Maharaj came. He was also thirsty, right? And the Yaksha said, "Please answer some questions." And Yudhishthir Maharaj said, "All right, I'll answer some questions." So there's a whole conversation. It's a long section, beautiful section. Practical lessons of life. So one of the questions was, he asked Yudhishthir Maharaj, "What is the most wonderful thing in this world?" And he didn't say the Taj Mahal. He didn't say the Great Wall of China. He said, "The most wonderful thing is ahani ahani gacchanti bhutani." That every minute we notice that there is somebody or the other who's dying. And the most wonderful thing is, I think that I will not die. I think that this is not going to happen to me. This is the most wonderful thing. We notice. So if you pick up newspaper, someone's, you know, hundreds are dead. You turn on the TV, someone's dead. People that we know are going away. But in general, the conditioned low soul lives his life or her life in such a way that that's not going to happen to me. Like, I have figured it out that this is not coming to me. This is the most wonderful thing. So in one sense, human life, without sounding too morbid, human life is preparation for death. Actually, it's preparation for what lies after death. So apavarga means to break this mold of working very hard like an ass, frothing or foaming in the mouth, collecting little things and becoming attached to them, afraid of what the future will hold for me, and dying really ingloriously. This is called pavarga life, material life. Apavarga life means working hard for Krishna, because we have to work hard anyway. So working hard for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. And may Krishna be pleased, being the ultimate goal of our life. That is called apavarga life. So, those are some thoughts. Any comments or questions? Yes, Ashaya, please.
Hope it's not off topic. Something that just came to mind when you were talking about the working hard and the tendency of the conditioned soul and foolishness of whatever degree, goodness, passion, ignorance kind of thing. How merciful Srila Prabhupada was that he somehow engaged that foolishness in such a way that everybody got a little credit for Krishna consciousness, spiritual credit. And I was thinking, how do we, he was so powerful that wherever you were, he could somehow, you know, connect you to the lotus feet of Krishna. My sense is that, you know, that it requires a person like that to be able to really do that, because to, you know, stuck in the mud, how do you pull somebody out unless you have so much strength? So my sense is that connecting people to the Prabhupada or somebody like that is the only way that we can really do it.
Mm-hmm. That's coming up in the next verses. They're going to ask, because this is our goal, apavarga vartmani, on the path of liberation, please give us the association of your devotees, because that's the only way. Yeah, so the same good point, that's what they're aspiring for. Jai Jagannath Prabhu is right behind me.
You know, no prayasa. But in devotional service, a little prayasa is required because of the conditioned state. You know, Srila Prabhupada teaches like that.
Right.
So sometimes we have experience of feeling, at least, that we're putting a lot of effort in our devotional practices, but are also ending, like the materialistic person, in a baffled position.
Really?
As Srila Prabhupada is describing. And, you know, we're putting effort and putting out. We're trying Sadhu Sangha, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're doing everything we're supposed to do according to the book, and, you know, for some time, however long period, but we feel that we're ending in a baffled position. In devotional service, sometimes we feel very much bewildered. So what is our answer to this situation?
What I've come to understand is there are a few basic conceptions that unless they are clear, all the effort that we put into our sadhana and other things really don't give us the full leverage. So there are some very basic conceptions that need to be really clear, like really basic ones. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the sense that he's the controller of everything, and I'm a tiny, fragmental living entity that actually has no control over anything. that life moves on the basis of mercy and the Vaishnava's mercy, like that kind of conceptions. Unless that's clear, everything else we build on it, on a weak foundation, may look grandiose, but no rasa in it. So you use the phrase back to basics, and that's the thing, that every time we feel anything that's, he used the word stuck, the wheels are caught in the mud, the first thing to do is to go back to basics and work from there. If the basics are clear, a little effort gives a lot more leverage. It may be a very simple, humble service to a Vaishnava, and we can feel tons of clearance of the heart. If that's not, relationship's not okay, we may do everything else for hours and hours, but the movement is very little. So we tend to lose focus of the very fundamental things. Because we come in perhaps with a materialistic perspective or something. Whatever it is, different variety for different people. But the basics are to be very clear.
Thank you very much. That was actually very profound. It was giving me a new insight to Srila Prabhupada's 2 + 2 = 5 analogy. In this context, that even if you do so many things, but because you said 2 + 2 = 5 in the beginning, then it's all basically useless labor.
Right.
That was making... So I have a question then about a follow-up on that. So you gave the example, like a simple example, rendering humble service to Krishna and the Vaishnavas. This is a very basic conception. But to crystallize that conception usually takes quite some time.
Yeah.
Because we might be rendering service to a Vaishnava and feeling that I'm rendering humble service to a devotee or to the Supreme Lord. And then when the position gets tight or the service gets intense, then I leave that conception, I'm back to my Purusha Abhimana, you know.
Right.
I'm God, you know. Who is this person to tell me, or how can God do this to me? So they actually crystallize the other conception that I'm really a servant, and
right.
It seems to take a lot of time to
Correct.
Do. So what does a person do in the meantime then?
That means the first, as soon as we recognize that, if we are a little awake, we'll recognize that, is that we are operating highly on our tatastha nature. We're flip-flopping from servant to master, master wannabe. We never be a master. It's just servant to a master wannabe. That's the problem. And we need another Vaishnava to tap us on the shoulder and say, Prabhu, stop the flip-flopping. Otherwise, it's going to continue. We may be, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We may not even consider. It's important to consider, who am I right now? When I'm feeling all this, who am I? Who is thinking these things? That should hopefully answer. Whoa, I'm a tired bhakta who's frustrated. Or whatever bhakta. Well, why? Who is this? What people think? I'm doormat or what? But immediately we know we're not there. And by the way, we should be comfortable by not being there, because that's where we are at. Then the question is, from wherever I am, can I take one step towards my constitutional nature of being a servant? And it may actually mean that we come to a Vaishnava and say, I realized it takes a lot to be a servant. Whatever, variety of things. But not being thoughtful is not an excuse. If we want to progress in our devotional life, we have to be thoughtful as to who is feeling all these feelings right now. Anger, frustration, blah. Who is feeling all this? And very soon we'll know. It is a conditioned nature that's feeling this. Not that it's a bad thing. Awareness is good. We're not qualifying the awareness. We're just saying being aware is good. then we know what to do from there on. Yes.
Care. I had just a follow-up question on this point, and in terms of our situation in the ashram also, how does one, because one feels concerned about being judged for not coming up to the mark,
right?
You know, coming up to the proper standard, and I see I have all these anarthas and they're really encumbering and cumbersome, and I'm not able to come up to the mark. And I feel or I see that others are really at a mark that I would also like to be at. So I feel, I don't necessarily feel judged from them, but I'm judging myself, and I feel inadequate and so on. So then usually the attempt is to just try to force myself to come up to the mark and such methods. And if I don't come up to the mark, then I feel...
Models.
You know, like self-esteem issues and all these things.
Correct.
So then what is the person to do in that situation? Because it's like, if I stick to the basics, the very bare minimum type of thing, I'm also not feeling completely nourished. I also don't feel that I'm at the mark. And it gets like so.
There is something called self-envy. One is envious of one's own self. Envious in the sense, just not... they don't like themselves. They just cannot come about to liking themselves. Not in a, oh, look here, I'm so great. Not like that. But accepting. Self-acceptance that, hey, this is where I'm at. And from here is where I have to begin or work on my bhakti. And it's not like, whoa, look at her or look at him and not. That is envy. Self-envy, actually. Self-envy manifests because of the absence of love. They don't feel loved or cared for. So then they feel judged. So in an ashram setting, or a little community setting, or whatever, family setting, there has to be a lot of experiences of love. Like you have to go out of your way to express love to them. Each of us have to do for each of us to come out of that place. It takes a lot of work. And some people don't budge from there because self-envy position is a very comfortable position. Although it's suffering. You know, we've noticed we become very content in our suffering. Huh? It is sense gratification. It's like they say, misery loves company. It is sense gratification, but it's like the darker side or the negative side of sense gratification. Not like going out and enjoying the senses. It's staying within the... it's sense gratification in the mode of ignorance like that. So people don't move from there. It's too uncomfortable to move out of it and explore the vastness and the joyfulness of Krishna consciousness. Whoa, I'm used to this, staying here. I like this. So such persons, they, in the long term, they struggle. And then like you said yesterday, with time, right, time and truth stand together. So with time, the boys separate and the men separate. So we all hopefully want to become men, and not men like that men, but we all want to become mature in our Krishna consciousness. So each one of us takes the responsibility of doing whatever it takes. Part of whatever it takes is being open to getting feedback, being open to hearing other Vaishnavas, being open to looking within, considering, what's wrong? And if I don't know, then I ask someone, what's wrong? What do you think? Where do you think I could improve? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj gives an exercise that you can have another devotee and you can help each other. You ask the devotee, you know, here are some things that I'm working on, that I'm struggling with. So when you notice these things, can you please come and tap me on my shoulder and give me a little reminder? And the other devotee will say, oh, very good, happy to do that. And here are some things I'm working on. When you notice me doing certain things, you come and tap me on the shoulder. We help each other. This is a very powerful way of developing good peer relationships. Because we want to develop in our Krishna consciousness together. I'll move to Himanshu. Already answered. Okay. Well, you're easy. Siddhartha.
Thanks a lot for the lecture. I'm finding it a bit difficult to comprehend how a person more of goodness goes through Pavarga. Seems he has a basic understanding of how to not work like an ass. So.
No. A person in mode of goodness goes through Pavarga in this way. Very dutiful. So dutiful to take care of the family. So dutiful to do the right things that can neglect their Krishna consciousness. You know people like that? I know people like that. Right?
It seems that they don't go through suffering.
No.
To feel that they're doing the right thing.
Mode of goodness is never free of passion and ignorance. There is no such goodness in this material world that is free of passion and ignorance. We should not look at the modes as exclusive or mutually different from each other. The three modes of nature are constantly competing. There is no person in this world, no conditioned living entity in this world who can live every aspect of their life in pure goodness. This just doesn't exist. There are aspects of their life that are in goodness, and there are aspects of their life that are definitely in passion and ignorance. So there is suffering, there is hankering, there is lamentation. It may be laced with some sense of goodness. So they may say, oh, the suffering is there. I need to be more dutiful. Versus the person in mode of passion will say, there's suffering. How do I enjoy in this moment? And the person in ignorance will say, too much for me to deal with. Let me go to sleep. But every mode of nature is laced with the other modes of nature. It's just not possible that it's not there. So we should not think that a person in mode of goodness means he's some class apart. He's very much mixed with ignorance and passion. Maybe smaller degrees or that, but it's there. And even if there is such a person, which there's not, this is hypothetical, very soon, with that, you know, progress of Kali Yuga, that goodness will go away. Right? In the first canto of Bhagavatam, that's the verse. Kalau Sattva Haram Pumsam. This is where the sages are meeting Suta Goswami, and they're telling him, we have accepted you as the captain of our ship. Bhadram Te, and then they say, we have accepted you as the captain, and you speak to us Bhagavatam because Kali Yuga has begun. What is the characteristic of Kali Yuga? Sattva Haram Pumsam. It steals away anything that is in goodness. So there isn't something like that.
So you're saying there are no good brahmanas at all in Kali Yuga?
Correct. That is correct. We're not talking Vaishnavas here. We're just talking brahmanas. And there aren't any.
So, a question about the class. Again, this Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma verse and also Brahmano Kavihastino. So, it's good to read it, but when we actually implement it, even at the level of on a transcendental platform, we don't really see, say, animals in mode of ignorance, like lizards and roaches, in the same way as cows, right? We try to avoid roaches, they're not welcome, and cows are worshipable. So how do we understand that they are
they're all living entities, they're all parts and parcels of Krishna, and they all deserve respect in that sense. But we don't worship a roach. Definitely Gokularanda Prabhu does not. But we're not meant to worship roach. That would be improper application of the principle of spiritual vision. Vision and goodness. Here's the vision of a devotee. As you see the different species, the vision is, how this particular living entity has utilized his free will, that today is, what kind of desires this entity must have, that is, Krishna has given him such a body to fulfill these desires. How this living entity has misused his free will that now is in this body. And then how can I, if at all, if Krishna would like me to serve, how can I serve here? So there's no judgment. Cockroaches are bad, monkeys are good. No judgment like that. Every living entity is a living entity. But cows are special, because they're very dear to Krishna. Okay, you have about 30 seconds.
If more of goodness is so compromised, how does one get to transcendental?
By serving Krishna. By serving the Vaishnavas. By chanting the holy name. By following the regulative principles. We bypass the whole modes of nature thing. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati tetam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita chapter 14. What's different in the mid? Cows. The cows in the material world are slaughtered. The cows in the spiritual world are cared for, and they sing, and Krishna personally tends them. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Oh, Mr. Ghosti downstairs.